What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I'm here. Ben, I have a question for you.
All right, lay it on me.
Okay. This is a new phrase I came up with this morning, and I'm calling it universal shoving.
Universal shoving.
Yes.
Okay, so like I'm thinking, like by shoving, do you mean like shoving in line, or like if you've got like a duffel bag that you need to like scoot further into like the boot of your vehicle, you like kind of shove it backwards?
I mean, in a sense, you know, like not shoving in like the traditional sense of like, you know, pushing someone with extra malicious force or something like that.
Okay.
More like, you know, like Barty Crouch Sr. was destined to be minister, but then he had some political fallout and got, you know, shoved sideways into the Department of International, you know, wizards.
Oh, okay. So like maybe it's like a situation where, okay, I'm trying to walk through this now, like almost like circumstances beyond your control. It doesn't have to be physical. It's almost sort of like circumstances might like force something.
Right.
So
exactly.
So then in the essence of universalness, does that mean as pertaining to everyone, or does universal mean like the universe is shoving me towards an outcome?
Right. Yeah, that is exactly it. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's it. More of universal shoving.
Okay.
So everyone's probably experiencing their own version of what feels like universal shoving at times.
Yeah, yeah. Because my initial thought was kind of like, I've seen you before, like when the t-shirt cannon comes out at like a sporting event or something, and they're shooting them t-shirts up into the crowd. And I've seen you do some universal shoving.
Oh, well, that's, you know, that's more physical shoving.
Yes, yes. I assumed that that's where you were coming from.
No.
Okay.
Although one could argue that the universe like is shoving me into those situations, you know.
Oh,
it is like targeting the cannons near me.
So here's the real question, is that like I've seen you in these environments before, and I know that you're like all out. Is the motivating force behind you like
winning?
Yeah. Like it's like you don't really want the shirt. What you want is to like win the game of
I caught something. Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah.
And so then it's sort of like is the glory getting to like to go home and like tell all your friends like I caught a shirt.
It is like when you, I feel like it's like hitting a foul ball, you know. Sometimes they're shooting the cannons up in there and it's like that could land on anyone. It could land on anyone, but if you catch it, it just makes you feel like special.
You know?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
So that's what it makes me feel special if I catch it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's fine enough reason, I suppose.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So what brought you down the wayward path of universal shoving?
Several things, Ben. Several things. Okay. So for the thing that seemed like just blatant over this past week was that when I bought my house, there's a fence around my backyard.
Yeah.
Not the one you and I built around the garden.
No.
Just like a regular backyard fence. You know?
You got yourself like the picket fence from like all the country songs.
Right. Yeah. It's like a picket fence. You know, it's like 4 feet tall. There's a big gate on one side that would open to let you in and out of the back. You can't drive a car through it. Sadly, it's like a foot too short for some reason.
I know. It actually drives me nuts every time because like there have been so many instances where we've got like a truckload of stuff and we're backing it up right up to the gate. And it's like, if I don't even think it's a full foot. Like I think if we had 8 more inches,
yeah,
we could squeeze through with the mirrors folded in.
Exactly.
But whatever. Beside the point.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. But short, like ever since, even when I got the house, the gate was like being held together with like bungee cords. Like it was still screwed into the post, but like it wasn't great. And then like over time, opening, closing it, like it eventually got like to the point where it was hanging on barely, but you know, you kind of had to like rest it against the other side. And eventually the door just like the gate completely fell off and it just sort of like, and for a while I would still just lean it up. But after a while, even that wouldn't do.
Okay.
It just like, it was just sort of sitting off to the side waiting to be fixed.
Okay.
You know, for a long time. And it was so frustrating because since I've had it, it has not worked well.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, that can be very frustrating.
It was one of those situations where you're like, I don't really need to fix it because it's still there. It's a little frustrating to deal with, but like it's there, you know, like the door, it's still attached. There's not like a ton of fixing to do. It's annoying to deal with, but I don't have to go like buy new stuff to fix it.
But you, I mean, you're also in a situation of not having like backyard pets that need to be contained. Cause like, you know, for me, this would have been like a, I can't function the way I intend to function because like I need the fenced in backyard. The very nature of like what the fence is supposed to be doing is betraying me.
Right. So it was inconvenient, but that's about it.
Sure.
You know, was it worth a lot of trouble? Once the fence came off, even then it was like, you know what? Now it's just always open, but so what? Right. No, you know, pets to run away or anything, except that then suddenly there started being a lot of droppings in my backyard.
Yes.
Because of then like animals could just freely come and go. Now the deer can jump the fence anyway, but it seems like having the gate closed is keeping like 90% of the honest deer honest. They're like, oh, okay. There's a wall here.
Right.
There's still the occasional deer out there that's like, you know, there's nothing to do about the dishonest deer.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
I mean, they're coming in.
If they're going to jump the fence, they're going to jump the fence. These are deer who are growing up in households where they're feeling as they're not getting the proper attention, and therefore they have to rebel.
Exactly. You know what is a great example? Because the deer that was in my backyard, I thought there was a deer in my backyard this past week, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's because, I'll get to it. But I went out to go, you know, shoo it. And I noticed that on the outside of the fence, it had left its two fawns. And I was just like, wow, look at you abandoning your fawns outside the fence.
What?
They are going to grow up and be like, we need attention.
We need
and
attention.
You're going to be fence hoppers too.
Right, right.
I had to give them a talking to her. I was like, get out of here.
Come on.
Shoo. Follow her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they did.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, it turns out I was scary to them.
Did you use that exact stern voice?
I did. Yeah.
Wow.
I gave them had to lay down the law with those fawns.
Okay.
Don't let them think this is a safe yard. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is, last week or 2 weeks ago, I was like, you know what? Because when we built the fence around the gate around the garden,
yeah,
you know, we had put the door on and stuff, and you were like, oh, we just got to buy like a gate kit. And like those phrases just like unlocked a whole section in my brain. I was like, gate kit. That there's a pre-made kit to fix this thing.
Like you don't just have to go with like random haphazard the hardware together.
Yeah, I don't have to be like, what kind of hinges do I need? I gotta match the screws. Just gate kit. So I was like, that's what I need is a gate kit. So I went to the hardware store and I bought a gate kit and I fixed it in like 10 minutes. It was one of those things you're like, man.
Like it wasn't that hard.
It really wasn't that hard. And not only that, when it was fixed, and so for the first time since I've lived there for the past 2 weeks, the gate has been better than it's ever been.
Okay.
It has worked properly. It has not dragged on the ground. You can latch it. I was like, oh my gosh, what a quality of life improvement. And it's like once it's fixed, you don't even realize how bad that's when you realize how bad it was.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Yep. 100%.
So proud of myself. I was like, I did it. I did it. And I did it fast and it was easy. And it's just better now. And then I come home this past Thursday and Beth is like, oh, hey, the guys who mowed the lawn came and knocked on the door. And I was like, I got a call from them a few weeks ago. And I was like, oh, no, did we leave stuff in the yard again? Because they called me and they were like, there's like so much stuff in the yard. Can you like just clear it out? And I was like, sure. What days are you coming? You never told me what days you're coming. You
know? Sure. Yeah. I can see both of those problems, but absolutely. Yeah.
Right. I'm like, I don't mind doing it. Just I never knew when you were coming. So I was like, oh, no, that's what they're going to be complaining about. And then he comes to the door and is like, hey, I'm so sorry. I know your husband just fixed this, but my guy just broke the gate off the fence. And I was like, are you kidding me?
No,
it cannot be. Like I have gone 5 years without fixing the fence and I do it and a week later breaks it again. Like this is such malarkey. It cannot be the case. And I was like, this is universal shoving. The universe is like, it's supposed to be broken, dude. I don't know what to tell you. You're like, good on you for fixing it. That was great. But like, it's supposed to be broken, you know,
man.
Like I was like, this was just like the garage door. It was like, I finally cleaned up the garage. I made this like perfect, nice, clean, organized garage. And the garage door was like, that's great and all, but now I'm broken.
Right.
Just so you know, like if you thought you're supposed to be kind of annoyed out here, you know, like, sorry.
No, I know exactly what you mean. I think it was just in last week's episode or maybe 2 weeks ago at most, but I was like, I feel like I'm fixing things as fast as they're breaking. Like,
yes.
And it's like, I don't know what is going on with like this specific stage of life that I'm in, but I feel like every single week I am like successfully fixing like a new problem, but then something else goes askew and it's just like, okay, now I gotta go do that. And do I have all the right, you know, tools and the parts and like all the things that I need to keep it going? And it's just, you know, like the other day, like I keep talking about like having work on my truck a little bit lately. It's been like a nice like pastime for me. Like on the roof of your vehicle, you have these like gutters. Okay. And they are like ways that like water obviously is exactly what gutters are supposed to do. It's like when it rains, it's supposed to like shoo the water away from where you look out.
Yeah.
And there are these like, you know, nice heavy duty like weather strips that live in these channels. And like in the history of looking at cars ever, I have never heard of anybody losing one of these like trim pieces.
Right.
And so like I'm doing all this like stuff to my truck and I've been so proud of it. And you know, like the other day I was like, I had it parked after going boating one day and I heard these like high school kids walking by and they're like, dang, like that Tundra is like, you know, that's fire. And like they use the word fire.
You're like, I did it.
I know. I was like, thanks, man.
Thanks, you
know?
Dude.
And I'm walking up to it, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, it is fire. You know, that's a good point. And I'm like, wait a second, what is that? Why is that missing? It looks like somebody shaved an eyebrow off of the roof of my car.
Wow.
And I'm just like, who is missing that piece?
Yeah.
Like I've had like the famous story about like the detailing gone wrong where the guy had like went through and like broke everything to do with my vehicle. And it's like now I'm like looking at this thing. I'm like, well, it couldn't have been that. Like I would have noticed before now. Like this is a recent failure of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's driving me nuts because I'm like, I'm so proud of it. And it's also just sort of like, why is everything still wrong?
What is the problem?
Yeah.
So frustrating.
Yeah.
So frustrating. Yeah. Well, on a similar note, still in my backyard situation is just like the garden in general, which like last year, of course, we had all the animals come eat all the food and stuff.
Yep.
This year, we've sort of got like the grand pumpkin takeover, it were.
Right.
When it's like, I don't know if it's the pumpkins that are making other things not like if you go back there, it looks like a jungle. There's stuff growing everywhere.
Sure.
But at the same rate, like I maybe harvested like 12 cucumbers, you know?
Okay.
I'm like, I feel like I should be getting like, I should have harvested like 50 cucumbers or something by now.
It feels like it.
It feels like there's so much stuff growing. Why isn't anything growing?
Right, you know? Right.
Where's my food? The broccoli, I think I just misjudged that. I think I'm just going to retry it in the fall though. It's like it's something you can plant in the fall.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah,
so we're going to try it. Yeah. We're going to redo it there.
Plenty of bandwidth left.
We experimented. And then Beth, I'm having a conflict of, paths here where the pumpkins are like sort of like a problem where and that they're sort of creeping all over the place and like growing, and Beth's like, why don't you just pull the pumpkins up? And I'm like, because I don't think pulling the pumpkin up is gonna make the cucumbers grow more.
Sure.
You know, like I think it's too late, and at this point I'd just rather have the pumpkins.
Right. Yeah. Like the pumpkins in and of themselves are kind of whimsical, kind of fun, like,
right,
you know, pumpkins are very inexpensive like when you go to the store, but also the idea of having like grown your own is like, this is better.
I know. Well, like on the other hand, it's like a lot of times people will use pumpkins as like decor even if you don't carve them or anything.
Oh, sure.
So I'm kind of like, and it's like those, like if we're buying pumpkins to carve them, that to me is worth it. If you're buying them for decor, that's, I'm like, this is sort of superfluous because it's just going to like rot,
right, and become pumpkin seeds, and we're gonna have pumpkin plants
then,
growing everywhere.
And then we're gonna have this exact problem next year. So part of me is like, we're growing our own decor now instead of our own food, you know?
Not, yeah, exactly. Nice.
And then, but she's like, but you have a whole separate pumpkin patch at the side of the house, and I'm like, but picking them won't fix the cucumbers, you know?
Right. Yes, I follow.
So anyway. That's my circular argument there. But it's sort of like last year I had this one problem. This year it's a new problem, but it's like, that's okay. Cause I feel like is more like a learning situation.
Sure.
There. But the more personal one, the one that's starting to feel really depressing to me is that for the past month, I would say I have had like an injury of the week. And it has just been like so annoying that it's just like, It just feels like the universe is just like, oh, are you feeling a little better? How about no? But no, like we need you to sort of be like weighed down with something right now.
Right. So, I mean, I remember last week you had just gotten back into back squat.
Yes.
And you had like a comical level of soreness for the whole week.
It was a lot. That's fine now. Now I'm back to complete form on that. That'd be good.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I was all prepared to go in and have another round of it this Monday morning, which I did not do because yesterday we were at the pool and Luke wanted me to teach him how to like dive or whatever. And I was, you know, we spent a good long time out of there, and he eventually got like one or two where it was like, oh my God, that was it. That was close. That was it. You know?
Yeah.
We tried a lot of different methods, but we kind of got there towards the end, just before we left. So good stopping point. But in the meantime, we were kind of going off the diving board, and I kind of wanted to like show off a little for Luke, you know, and be like, oh, look, Dad, look, here, I can do a flip or whatever.
Look at Dad. Here's all my tricks and whatnot.
Check it out, you know, whatever. So I go off the diving board and I'm like, man, I haven't done a flip off the diving board in forever. You know, it's been a minute. So I go off and I jump and I flip and I'm like, boom, still got it. Nailed it. You know,
no problem.
You know, not that like doing like a front flip is like crazy hard or anything.
Hey, but I mean, you did it.
Like, I did it.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like there were things that like when I was like 28 and I had like 32-year-old friends, I feel like those 32-year-olds were like, just wait till you hit your 30s, man. And here I am coming up on like 36 and I'm like, okay, 32-year-old friend. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Right. You know, everything's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Did it. And then like, I was like, Luke, did you see that? And then if I was like the reversal, cause like so often when kids on the dive and we're like, dad, watch, dad, look, watch, you're watching. And then they just jump and do nothing. You're like, really good. Really good.
You are Woo! Killing it, buddy.
That is a 27th jump.
Right.
Cool.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is. It's fun to watch them no matter what. But so I was like, okay, well, you know what? I did it. That was cool. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to do another one. So I was actually going to watch it this time so we can see and maybe aspire to doing a flip at some point.
Sure.
You know, So I go and I run, jump, do a second one, land in the water. And I come up and I'm like, oh my God, I just did something to my shoulder. Don't know what happened. Didn't feel bad in the air. Didn't feel like any sort of extra weird twisty motion. But sure enough, it is like I woke up this morning and I was like, I can't move. This sucks. I can't like the whole left side of my body down my back just hurts. And I don't like why one front flip later, which he also didn't see, which is annoying. But
why was he not watching twice?
I don't know.
Luke, you're watching Luke.
Oh, I'm not doing it again. I'll tell you that much. The ship sailed. You have to figure it out on your own now.
Right.
Like it was just, and it's just like, cause you're right. Like last week is the back squat and this week is the front flip. And even before that, like I had a vasectomy. And so it's not like horribly painful or anything like that, but you know, it's you're aware of it, you know, you're aware of it.
Sure. Yes.
You know, it happened. It's on the edge of your mind at all times for like, you know, a week and a half. It doesn't hurt, but it doesn't not hurt, you know?
No. I mean, it's like, I feel like you just like say it out into the air and like the wind kind of gets like sucked out of your lungs a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand.
So, yeah. So I was dealing with that for 2 weeks, right into back squat, right into this front flip situation. And it's just like, it's just so annoying. Like all three things, I suppose you could say, are just like self-inflicted or whatever, to an extent.
Like the thing to me, the outlier there really is the vasectomy, because like that's sort of like is a completely different situation. That's like, you know, a decision where you would have walked in and known that you were going to walk out with soreness, basically.
Yes.
Like that just sort of is what it is. I mean, and then
to me, the outlier is the front flip. Because like I knew going into the vasectomy that would be like that there would be some soreness. Like I knew that. That was like, okay, I was prepared for it.
Sure.
And then the back squat, I was like, it's okay. I know I'm gonna be sore. I even know that I'm going to be comically sore. Like, it's fine. But like the front flip, it's like I've done so many flips off things my whole life. You know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, why? 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 Why does it like I didn't even have like a weird landing. I landed fine. I didn't do any sort of weird twists. You know, it wasn't like a high impact. It didn't hit anything solid. You know, it was just like, and it's just like, it just feels like I'm on like week four in a row of just being like, I'm dealing with some annoying injury. Can I please just feel healthy again? Because like I feel like for years and years, I've been like working out and lifting weights and swimming and doing all these other things specifically so that as I can like age gracefully and remain injury free. And right. it is, and then it's like when it's so frustrating to then get injured and it's like, it just feels like suddenly I've just become very injury prone and I hate it. And I feel like I am actively trying to avoid these situations. And it's like, it just, it is like one of those like mortality moments, you know, where you just feel like it's not even that it hurts, you know, yeah. It's not even that it hurts that you're dealing with the pain. It's that you got hurt doing something you used to be able to do, and now you feel old. And like, that hurts more than the pain itself, I think.
No, you know? Yes. I definitely think I know exactly where you're coming from. I was having a conversation with our grandfather, who was born in 1934. And it was strange because I remember him talking to me about it, and he's like, you know, the most frustrating thing is like up here, you know, he's like pointing to his head. He's like, I feel like me, you know, like I feel right. like myself. I can remember these moments of my life. So what drives me nuts is like not being able to do things exactly like you say, like, and that had never fully occurred to me before. Like it had never occurred to me that your physical self might be degrading faster than your mental self under certain circumstances.
Right.
And like the idea of your mental and like, you know, strength staying strong, stronger, longer means that there are certain things it has to come to terms with in terms of other like general physical limitations.
Yeah.
And I could see where that would have sort of the exact effect it seems to be having on you. On it.
Yeah.
That being said though, like I also feel like with, you know, like a couple of these things, it's entirely possible they're just paired together. Like, you know, I feel like with when I first started weightlifting, it felt like I was getting injured more often because it was like I had like all these like deficiencies. So it was like from rock climbing and mountain biking and running and stuff, I had like certain muscles in my body that were like super strong, which meant that like I could probably like technically deadlift way more than like certain deadlifting muscles were prepared for, because like my back could compensate a lot for what my hamstrings couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I don't know, like I'd be curious at all, like even like if the soreness in your body, even if you weren't like physically like limping while walking due to the soreness, wasn't still, you know, leaving your body like maybe a scooch more stiff
perhaps
in the scheme of things.
Sure.
You know, going into the
yeah,
front
like
flip.
The flip. Yeah.
Right. You know, so like maybe it's just sort of like you go to do the jump or whatever, and it's sort of like your legs are all flared up from doing the squat, and then it's like, ah!
Right.
You know, and then everything's connected too. So it's like,
I know everything's connected, but it's like, even that you're but does doing squats then make you that much more vulnerable? You know, I don't know. Like it doesn't feel like, yeah, I don't know.
So like what, I mean, yes, you're like, I can tell that like, this is clearly something that feels like it's like weighing on you, pressing on you. Like you kind of look like you got like the despair in your eyes.
It's just been, I don't know. I think so. The weird thing, I mean, if you want to just scale it back to being like everything's connected, is that like, you know, like the vasectomy was like a thing. It's like, I was happy to do it. It's not like a problem or anything.
Sure.
You know, like it's, like, you know, Beth has been on birth control like for forever. And, right. You know, we're just, you know, we're done having kids. So it was like, you know, it's much easier for me to go do something about it.
Sure.
Yeah. Than for her to have like really expensive like surgery or remain on whatever she's on. So like, it wasn't like a problem, but it was like, I would say the emotional fallout has been greater than like the physical one for sure. In like a really unexpected way. Like, and it's been like difficult to describe, I would say, because it's not like, I don't even know. It's like, I'm not really that bothered by it or anything, but there's like a certain amount of like, you know, I don't know, like it sounds dumb even saying it, but like, you know, like manliness or like virileness or whatever, you know,
yeah,
that like you're like, you know, you wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't have imagined I put like any like stock in that. And I don't even think any of the, well, obviously like you're not virile anymore, I suppose.
Sure.
But it's like, you don't put in any, like, you don't think you're putting any stock or anything in like something like that. But it's like, then it's like once you know sort of that it's like disappeared, that it's like, does it make you feel lesser? And it sounds like, of course you're not, but it's like you're, it's almost like your emotions don't care whether or not your mind thinks that, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I think like, you know, one of the things that I think has always been like really poignant to me that like, I remember maybe not even fully understanding when you first expressed it to me, because I was just so far behind and having kids of my own, or Addie for that matter. But I remember you talking about like the last night, because Beth was scheduled to go in to have the twins. So yes, like you kind of like knew what the last day with just Luke was going to be.
Yeah.
And I remember that was like a really emotional night for you, because it was sort of meant like,
well, we didn't, then like Beth's water broke early for the twins too. So we didn't know the last night there, that night was going to be the last night.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But like, but you were mourning what was going to be the ending of like that chapter, like
right,
where it was just you and Beth and Luke.
Yes.
Inside of the house. And at the time I was sort of like, you know, I think for me, it was still so aspirational, like, and, you know, as like a, you know, your brother, as an uncle to be to these kids, and, you know, the joy that I have, like spending time with your kids and stuff like that. It was like hard for me at the moment to wrap my head around what that experience must have been like,
right,
and like how sacred it is, you know. But then like last night, like we're sitting on the couch with Addison, and, you know, we're watching the second How to Train Your Dragon movie, and out of nowhere Addison is just sort of like, I just love watching this movie with you guys. And
aww,
it was like, you know, like it was just, yeah, I mean, it's like one of those things where it's like the three of us were like all there, both dogs were on the couch. It was like a snapshot of like what our family looks like
right
now.
Exactly.
And so the idea that it's kind of like, okay, now there will be new people, now things will be changed, now it just won't be the three of us. Like, do you feel like any part of you with this decision, like, even though you guys weren't planning to have more kids, it's sort of like, this is like, we're not having more kids.
I mean, yeah, I think there's some of that too. It's like, you've definitely like closed the door on like a part of your life for good, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm getting all emotional in this episode.
That's all right, man. It's a big deal.
I'm not like upset about that either. I think it just like is a new, it's not even like a new chapter. It's just like the end of another one, you know?
Right.
It's not, I'm not even like emotional about that. I don't think it's just like, I just feel like that compounding with then just feeling like sore and injured feels like, I don't know, just that you're entering. It's just you're entering a new part of like life, I guess, where it's just like, I don't know, it's like you're questioning your own like abilities, and you're like, you know, like what your own self-image looks like, you know?
Like, do you think part of it is that like these are the kinds of things that helped you define yourself?
I mean, I guess, you know, it's like it always felt like I am capable of these things because I've done them before. Like, I know I can do these things.
Right.
And then it's like you kind of continue to believe. It's like, you know, like we always talk about, like, you know, we used to run in
high school
or whatever.
Yeah.
And like forever, I would just still consider myself like a runner, like well into like my late 20s, even though I hadn't gone on a run in like, you know, years.
Sure.
Kind of thing. And then it's like you actually go out and do it and you're like, oh yeah, it was a lot harder than I remember.
Right.
It, you know, being, because you're not in shape or anything for it anymore. But it's like until you had that like reality check, you sort of feel like, no, I can definitely just still go do it. But it's just sort of like, I don't know, feeling, it's like you just wonder, like, well, if I'm not, like, I don't know, like, am I, like, I imagine myself to be, like, you know, active and, you know, athletically capable and stuff like that. And it's like, but like, is that, like, not as true anymore? Or like, was it never as true as I thought? Or I don't know. Just, or maybe I've just been in pain for a month and it sucks.
And it sucks. Well, I mean, I think you're grappling with like, you know, like big questions and stuff. And like, I think having known you, my whole life, at least, I think that there's a lot to be said. And I think we can even like, you know, look to our own dad for a lot of, you know, kind of hope and inspiration here, because he is 64.
Yeah.
And still a, you know, and he is actively living with sarcoidosis,
yep.
And is a remarkably active, individual who still knocks down barriers, you know, every day. And
yeah.
He's a great example of, you know, perseverance sort of in the face of opposition. And also just like, you know, what we're capable of. But, you know, I think the other kind of big thing and maybe just like an observation where I could like really see why this could be so poignant for you, would be that like, I think that you've always been, as much as you're like a very responsible adult who, you know, I think eats healthy and consistently exercises and is, you know, good with money and takes care of your family and all those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
You are like a child at heart, you know, like I think that it's like something that has never really left you as an individual, it spans from, you know, I think a variety of things. You know, when we were kids, we went and did flips off the diving board and, you know, we traded Pokemon cards and we played video games and, you know, we went and ran around outside and got into antics and stuff like that. You know, it's like a lot of, you know, like what's kind of remarkable about you as a person is that like, you've always maintained that like kind of passion for the things that you loved when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there is nothing about you as an individual that suggests to me that you are not someone who is just capable of picking up something new and running with it. It just doesn't ever seem like you've ever maybe needed or wanted to. Like, but I wonder, you know, I mean, like the thing I always think, again, to go back to dad, is like, we were runners growing up. It was a big part of our identity and like, you know, our, you know, kind of icon at the time was Steve Prefontaine, who had died like 30 years before we right. ever heard his name for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, so as a kid growing up, like one of the things that I always hoped and wanted to do was to, you know, run the Boston Marathon. And it's still like one of those things that like, I always still think like I will do. And I think that there, what's always been reassuring to me about it is that I think like our own dad did it when he was like 46.
Right.
You know? And that's still a full decade ahead, you know? And I think that like, as you move forward, as your kids become more advanced and they find their passions and where they're going to want to spend their, you know, time and energy, I can only imagine that you're going to fully embrace those things. And it's entirely possible you'll find like brand new passions when you're 42, you know, like.
No. Yeah. I mean, I don't doubt it. I mean, I don't, you know, I don't think I'm like incapable of like learning new things or anything like that.
No. Yeah. But like, I mean, I think, I guess all I'm trying to say is like, I guess I understand why the emotional weight of like the door closing is so heavy,
mm-hmm.
but like, I don't like, I guess what I want to do is like reassure you as someone who knows you so well, who doesn't have like the internal bias that like speaks against, you know, your own confidence, because that's what a lot of times our inner monologues do to us.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, I think even if you've, you know, done your last front flip, like,
yeah, right.
You know, like, mm-hmm. it's like you still haven't done your first.
Something else. No, I know. I think it's just like, and I'm not even concerned about that. It's just sort of like maybe it's just these things are like crossing paths around the same time where it's just like, yeah, this is just the new season of life you're in. But it's just like, yeah, you are just in like a different older season of your life now. And it's like, this is the next part, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't think I'm like just not going to do anything like physical activities or anything anymore or anything like that. I mean, not that I'm like, you know, just constantly trying to go off the diving board or anything like that.
Sure.
It's just like, and even as I was there yesterday, there was like other like guys who were like, you know, bigger and older than me going off the diving board and just doing stuff. And I was just like, yeah, see, they're still having fun. You know, it's like, it's just, I don't know. It was just like frustrating. I just feel like I've had a bunch of like, just like moments like that in the last few months where you're just like, where you're just like, you know, having to come to terms with it. And I feel like I am a lot of times amongst the people I hang out with the most, like just like a little bit older than most of those people, even if it's just by like a year or something.
Sure.
It just feels like maybe you're like approaching a lot of those milestones, just like just a smidge ahead of everybody. So I don't know, but.
So yeah, it's like then that can invariably feel isolating.
Right.
Yeah, because then it's sort of like, it's like, I'm going through this and I'm grappling with these things and
like no one else around me is.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I mean, and I know for a fact that that's also something that must happen because like, I mean, another one that I remember going through was you having Luke long before me. And, you know, like we were showing up to work and dealing with the stressors of just everything, you know, attached to kind of going through life and trying to navigate this industry and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like when I had Addison and I got like my first like 3 to 6 months in and I was like, holy cow, like I am like, everything is hard, you know, like, you know, this is. Like I'm, you know, like I don't have that full battery every morning like I used to have where it was like, okay, like, you know, I'm ready to withstand the trouble the day can throw at me. And it was almost like retroactively like, holy cow, we went through like a bunch of hard stuff when you had Luke. And I was just sort of assuming that you were like in the same mental position as me because. Like, because we're both there.
Right. Exactly.
You
know?
Like, yeah, it's like you fail to recognize what it's like the moments that led up to you walking out the door to come to the office that morning. And then the moments that came after you went home.
Right.
And it's kind of like, okay, this is like a whole new thing. It does. I mean, it changes your life. Like it just simply does.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's one sometimes that can be difficult where you can be around, you know, like friends or family or anybody who just isn't quite at that stage yet. And it's like, you don't want to like in any way, shape or form suggest like, oh, you just wait. Like, cause that's not the right approach at all. Like,
no,
it's one of the most wonderful things that you can do, but it's also, it just simply is also hard to relate until you've been there.
Right.
And that's probably, yeah, I could see where that's something that you're sort of like, you know, for our group of friends carving the path out, you know, a little bit first.
Yeah. I guess so. That's what I guess it can. Yeah. I think that's a lot of it too, I think. But anyway, sorry to get so emotional. Didn't really expect that myself, but you know, such is the pop sometimes, you know?
You know, yeah, I think one every 50 episodes or so.
Yeah, right.
One of us is entitled to cry a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're somewhere in that zip code on average.
It does seem like it. It does seem like it.
But I think it's good. I mean, I think genuinely, like there's the, like, it's a big decision, like, you know, that you and Beth made even to sort of like take the step to do the vasectomy and everything and sort of like what that means. And I think, you know, like it probably is something that's just, I have to imagine that there's some individual out there that like would struggle with the decision to, as like whether or not to do that.
Right.
And I think probably like your willingness to like, come on and kind of be open about something that maybe is like not the most open topic. Like I think,
right.
In my opinion, that's good. Like I'm proud of you for like being willing to like talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's seriously. I mean, if you're considering it, it's really a pretty, quick and easy procedure, all things considered. Like, I couldn't feel anything happening while it was going on. It took like 15 minutes or something.
It's unbelievable.
You know?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so weird. You know, it was like conversational while it's happening. It was like, you're just like talking to the doctor, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is very odd. You know, I was tense for sure. But, you know, still, you know, well, you're still exposed and still a bunch of sharp tools to tell, you know, above you.
It reminds me just ever so slightly of the TV show Scrubs, yeah, where I feel like this is like the approach they have to like an appendectomy, like taking out like an appendix. It's, you know, like we witnessed our own younger brother have appendicitis, and we know the extreme pain that Tyler was going through when he had it. Like, it's, you know, to be there on the receiving end of it, no fun at all. But I think the surgery is about as routine as it gets.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was funny to hear you be like, yeah, it took like 15 minutes. I was like, oh, cause that's kind of like a real thing. Like,
yeah,
that's not just the TV show. Like,
right.
That can happen.
Yep. Just very boom, done. There you go.
Yeah.
Yep. But anyway, you know, very, very quick, not painful if you're ever considering it.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, should we transition?
Sure.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Washington Red Raspberries. You know how eating healthy sometimes feels like a punishment? Like, congrats, here is your charred, hard pass. But that's why I'm personally obsessed with frozen Washington Red Raspberries, because these are not just any raspberries. They are grown by American family farmers in Washington State, picked at peak ripeness and frozen within hours so they keep all that fresh off the field flavor. You know the stuff. There's no added sugar, just pure fruit magic, and they're loaded with fiber, vitamin C, and antioxidants. Oh, and they're only 80 calories a cup. Boom! Mic drop. Or, I mean, my mic is actually attached to like a stand, but you know. I personally toss them in smoothies, swirl them into yogurt, even sprinkle them onto oatmeal. It's just an instant upgrade. They're naturally low in sugar, and like I said, super high in fiber, and honestly, one of the best kept secrets in the freezer aisle. And you can pretty much snag them anywhere. Costco, Kroger, Meijer, and Winco Foods. Just look for Product of the US on the bag. Bonus, keep an eye out for gems like the Kirkland's 3-Berry Blend Muffins at Costco, or Smucker's Peanut Butter and Raspberry Uncrustables. Those are actually Addison's favorite. So, support local American farmers and get year-round flavor? Yes, please. Hit up redraz.org, that's redraz.org, for recipes, tips, and more raspberry greatness.
Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. All right, Ben, it says last week we talked about how you had a friend who you were very hot and cold with, and you were talking about how like you were having more conversations. You're wanting to have like hard conversations with people. And I was like, boy, would you call that friend and like, you know, ask him what was up or apologize or figure out whatever it was.
You mean old Jimmy?
Yeah, old Jimmy. Yeah, yeah. I forgot. I can only think of his real name. I don't know, a name drop. But it says here in the notes that you ran into one of those people from high school who you could apologize to and did. So would you like to tell the tale?
Goodness gracious. Yes, indeed. So I have had like one moment in my whole life, and it is entirely possible I've even told like one piece of the story before, where I was in eighth grade and I remember we were playing this game of softball in Miss Wright's gym class.
Sure.
And I remember I was staring down at this like crack in the pavement, and for whatever reason on this particular, you know, spring sunny day in Roanoke, Virginia, I was just sort of like staring at the crack, and I was like, I wonder, like, you remember certain things. I wonder if I just work really hard to commit this crack to memory, like if years from now I'll be able to remember thinking about this.
Yeah.
You know, and it was almost like,
obviously, yes.
Obviously, yes. I could remember staring at the crack. But what's also kind of funny about this particular like saga of events is that we were having this softball game over like a series of weeks. So it was like spring in eighth grade in middle school, which basically meant that like we were the, you know, air quote, like seniors of the middle school. And we were like in our closing weeks, all the curriculum for gym was over. So we would just go out on every sunny day and we had these teams and we basically had this like softball tournament that we were doing that was like ongoing,
right?
You know, so we kind of just kept track of what the score was last time, and then the next day we'd come back out and pick it back up and keep going.
There you go.
And I remember it like, you know, in sometimes this happens in gym class, but it was like the perfect combination of teams to where it was like hyper competitive,
right?
Like the picking teams thing, whatever, went exactly as it should. You know, the first two picks were both really good, and the last two picks were, you know, the people who were picked last in gym class, I guess. So whichever which way it shook out, it ended up being very even. But we also had like enough time to like seriously form allegiances with our team,
right?
And the whole reason I bring it up is because there was like terrible thing that I did where it's I think the only moment in my whole life that I ever remember like blacking out for, and it was for 12 seconds and I didn't do anything like bad. I don't even think it was 12 seconds. I think it was 3 seconds, but it has like tormented me since then, because I was like, this was like such a like, it was like the kind of behavior where I felt like I went into like enough of like a dark spot where I was just sort of like, I don't even want to know that that exists. Like, I don't even want to think that that could be in me.
Right.
So I'm going to tell the embarrassing story because it's so bad and I hate it. But I ran into the person who was like most afflicted by it over this past weekend, and I was at a brewery and I saw him from across the way, and like, you know, he's older now and has a beard and looks different, and you know, so I was like, you know, I was like, oh, is that Brian? And I was like, I think it is Brian. I'm pretty sure it's Brian.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, I'm at the table with like my group of people or whatever, and I just keep like looking over at this person, like wondering like if I'm gonna like make eye contact with them or anything.
Right.
And you know, finally, like without saying anything to the people at my table, I just like got up and went over, and I was
wow. Like,
Brian? And yeah. He was like, Ben? And I'm like, what's up? You know, so we had like the very brief, like, oh, I haven't seen you in 20 years. How's it going? Like, you know, that conversation or whatever. But basically, you know, what I went to bring up with him was, on this particular day, Brian was on my soccer team in middle school, and he had sustained, I think he tore his ACL. So he was on crutches. And I remember that, like, the thing that happened that, like, I don't know, I got very frustrated about or something, was someone inside of this softball game that, of course, doesn't matter. There are no spectators. It is not an official game in any capacity.
Right.
I was just competitive.
It's gym class. Yeah.
I just wanted to win. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like one of the guys on the other team ran and like knocked over one of the players from my team. And it like made me like so upset as I was like rounding the bases or whatever. And I ran over, and Brian was not playing, obviously, because he had torn his ACL. So he's standing against like the chain link fence with like his crutches, just sort of like casually sitting there. And I like pulled one of his crutches out from like underneath his
arm.
No. And it was like, I think in the moment I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this thing, but I sort of like pulled it back as if it was like, you know, a bat. And it was bad and embarrassing, and like I am ashamed of it, and it was not a good thing. But I didn't at Brian, or I was even like 30 yards away from the kid who had knocked over like my player or whatever. But I was just like, I was so embarrassed. And I remember Brian like, you know, like shifted on his weight badly enough to be like, yeah, like, you know, I wasn't expecting to have one of my crutches pulled out from underneath arm.
Right.
And I'm just like I'm sweating just talking about it. But I saw Brian, and I mean, we continued to be friends through high school. So like nothing even ended up like clearly being like enough of an issue to where this like caused a rift.
Right.
He didn't even remember it. But I walked over to him and I was like, Brian, I there is something that weighs on me, and I have to say it to you. And, you know, he's sitting there and was playing a game of code names with like coworkers.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, and I'm like interrupting this thing. And I started sweating then.
Right.
I'm like so embarrassed.
Now I got an audience.
Yeah. Like bringing it up and explaining to him like this terrible thing that I had done. And again, not even really that anybody got hurt. It was just like the impulse I was not okay with. I wasn't comfortable with it. And I explained the whole thing to him. He's like, dude, I don't even remember this happening. I was like, well, it did. Well,
I'm glad you don't, because I do.
I feel terrible about it. And he's like, well, I'm a therapist now, and I just want to let you know, you can let this go.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Cool.
And it's like, even as I'm telling the story right now, I'm sort of like, this is so bad. It's like, it's not like something that should be out into the world. And it does, even as I'm saying it, like, I'm like worried, like, what, like, well, who is this person? Like, you know, I don't know. It's like, it feels like it'd be like open to judgment.
Right.
Like to let people know that I had like done this thing. But you know, it was interesting to like have one of the opportunities because it is something I feel like I've talked a lot about, like going and getting the chance to like sit down with people from your past who you may have had like a negative situation with, and like whether or not you would have the conversation or bring up something awkward or painful or whatever. And it's like, you don't get the opportunity to test it very often to see whether or not you truly would do the thing.
Yeah.
And so I think like that was, like, I don't think I felt better for bringing it up. I think I actually felt worse for like refreshing the story. I can feel worse for talking about it now. but I was proud of myself for at the very least going and like saying it.
Right.
You know, like it was sort of like it's not just all talk. Like it's not just like this hypothetical wishy-washy, would you try to go and like correct, you know, right the wrongs of your past or whatever. Like it's like genuinely willing to do it, like going out of my way during like what was otherwise supposed to be like leisure time, you know, recreational time. I'm not like a brewery, you know, like just hanging out with my friends, to take the opportunity to do something uncomfortable,
right?
But you know, I tried it, and I would say it was worth doing. So like, I guess there's that.
Yeah,
you know, like I guess that hopefully that means something to someone.
I mean, do you feel lighter? Do you feel like you can get it off your, like, you know, okay with it now that you've talked to the person? Was it like a weight off your chest?
Well, I, you know, when I first said it, I went back and I sat down and I was just embarrassed. I was like, why did I do that? Like, that was dumb. I think maybe the grace that you would extend to yourself was also like, you were 13. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's like, you're, if nothing else, like, probably very hormonal and going through changes in life yourself, and things are not like even keel.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, it's sort of like we, if learning from your mistakes in life doesn't mean anything, or even if like changing your opinions from like what may have been like a bad opinion to a better opinion, or growing and seeing new perspective, it's like, if you're always going to fault yourself from where you started from and not, you know, be proud of where you've came, then it like, it defeats the point of growth.
Right.
You know? And so I think that like the, you know, the grace you try to extend to yourself is sort of like, I was just a kid. Like, and I think because even then I felt like I knew better, like that's maybe like where it's been something that's like, you know, it's hard, but maybe that's like part of what it means to be 13 is like, it's like, you may even know better and still do the wrong thing.
Right.
You know, and it's like, it's getting into an argument with your siblings or your parents when you're a kid. It's like, you know, you're playing with fire, you know, this isn't going to go well. Like,
right.
You know, the outcome is not going to be positive, but you know, it's almost like, it's like, can you help it? You know, and it's like, and like, maybe that's like one of those things where it's like, it was just a human moment.
Right.
You know, like, and it, yeah. So that's all it comes down to, is that it's just like, that's just all it was. And you know, it's like, obviously, like, I don't think that's the kind of person I am now.
Yeah.
And so that's the main thing.
Yeah.
Is that it's just sort of like, you got to just, I don't know.
I know. You got to be willing to give yourself some grace for stuff like that. And like you said, like, it's something that's haunted you and they don't even remember it. So.
Right. Yeah.
There's
so,
that.
So there is, you know, that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Unlike sort of like a, it's sort of fun. It's like a, not a reverse side of this, but like on a, like I remember like someone grew up to be a therapist that I knew, but this is like the reverse side of it, or not like in a bad way or whatever. But I remember one time in high school, I had a buddy that we used to always play Yu-Gi-Oh with, you know, okay, trading card games.
Naturally.
Some things never change, you know.
Some things stay the same.
Yeah, whatever. And another kid in our grade like stole his deck or something at school, or I don't know. I think there was like a certain amount of like something like a someone owed someone money and the deck was stolen as like you better pay me my money or something.
Okay. Kind of thing.
I don't know. Like I don't remember all the beef.
Low grade repo system.
Yeah. I was just sort of like I don't know what the deal was, but I know that it doesn't really matter even if that was true. I was like, you shouldn't steal people's stuff. And I wasn't fully aware of the situation. All I really cared about was that my buddy's deck was stolen. And like, I could, you know, I was like, that's lame, you know, not cool.
Yep.
And the guy who had stolen it was in my homeroom class. And I remember, I could see him looking through the cards one morning and he took one of them out. It was a Jinzo card, which I bet you're even familiar with.
Perhaps. I don't know.
Many people are going to know what Jinzo is, but if you don't, in the early days of Yu-Gi-Oh, Jinzo is just this super good card that just negated all trap cards on the field.
Okay.
So, you know, you activated my trap card. It's like, not with Jinzo on the field.
Got it.
And I remember watching him take it out and putting it like, you know, how like the TI-83 calculators used to have like that cover you'd slide on the back.
Yeah.
So he hid it in between the calculator and the cover. So it was like, you know, hidden, you know, couldn't see it.
Sure.
Like, and so... And then I told my friend, and I was like, hey, just so you know, he took the Jinzo card out and put it right there. I watched him do it. So later on then, though, this is how that confrontation went down when he finally gave him the cards back. Apparently, my buddy holds up his cards and goes, one's missing, as if he could just tell by sight or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. He says, but then he totally threw me under the bus. He's like, I know you put the card here in your calculator. Carlin told me. And I was like, why
am I in the conversation? Why am I here right now?
So then later I get cut. Later said theft pulls me aside to the hall and it's like, hey, why'd you tell Beasley about that? Mind your own business or whatever. Sorry, I'm dropping real names now. I was like, whoa. I was like, maybe you shouldn't. And I was like, you stole from him, you know. Like, what are you on about me about? It was like, you didn't have much of a comeback for that. Anyway.
You're reminding me of like the Spider-Man's pointing at each other.
Yeah,
situation.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah, you're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, this is all ridiculous. Anyway, the theft is now a therapist as an adult. And I remember learning that one day and being like, well, that's rich.
Well, that's rich.
That's none of my kids to you.
Wow.
I know. And I'm like, that's probably not fair. I should probably give him a little more grace because also just high school and is clearly an adult and, you know, right. Went to school and worked hard and became this profession. And,
yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's, you know, and it's funny because it's like, you know, they're all like these like weird little like horcruxes. Like these memories because I genuinely think anybody outside of the situation is usually like much more objective about how not big of a deal it is. Like, you know, I had like a conversation, I feel like, with the team here one day where I was talking about like a sense of guilt that I felt about a casserole dish where we went tailgating. I had somebody with me who had brought a casserole dish for, you know, the thing that they brought to contribute to the tailgate for a football game. I got home, I put all the stuff away, you know, like my tent and all the chairs and like all that type of stuff. And I think it was in this like zippered pouch and I just sort of like set it on a shelf. And when he came to pick it up, I gave it back to him and like, I never cleaned it. And so it was this right. like really disgusting thing.
Casserole dish, yeah.
And I felt like, you know, he brought it up with me multiple times that I had not cleaned this dish.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one of those things where I was, you know, again, it's like I was really embarrassed about. But it's like when I look back on the fact that like we were doing these tailgates, I was like being the person who drove the truck and had the grill and the tent and the cornhole boards and all the stuff, like my going to the tailgate was a huge responsibility that everyone benefited from.
Right.
You know, like, and I would get home and I'd be by myself and it was just like, you know, you're just unloading all this stuff.
Right.
And then of course going to the next thing and then forgetting.
Right.
So obviously it's like my position isn't, it wasn't my responsibility to clean it. It's just sort of like, I understand how it came to pass that I didn't clean it.
Right.
But I feel like it was very funny because I was telling the story and how I felt guilty about it to the team here at work. And they were all like, yeah, you got to let that go. Like,
yeah.
That is not a big deal.
Right.
And you know, I think that's exactly it. Like, you know, we have these moments in our life that probably anybody else, if you told the story, would be like, oh, that's hilarious. And it's like, this is not funny. This torments me. And it's like, yeah, that's pretty funny.
Very
it's
funny.
Like,
it's like, you give back dirty casserole dish.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, don't leave it with me next time, bro. It's your fault.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, but it's strange because anybody else knows it's not a big deal, but we hang on to these things, like these like dark gifts that you know, we allow to like weigh us down. And so it's just, I don't know, maybe today's episode's lesson is just sort of like, hey, if you've got those things, let it go.
Just let it go.
It's okay. It's like,
you can do it.
It's like, you know what? You were a kid, or maybe you were just like a young adult, or maybe you just made a mistake. And you know what? People are allowed to make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Like, so it's like, I think, you know, maybe that's what everybody needs to do today is bring up one of those memories that wakes you up in the middle of the night while you're staring at the ceiling fan, unable to sleep, and just delete it.
Right. Yeah. You know? You're not a bad person because you made a bad decision when you were 14.
You know? Right. Exactly. Right. Yes. Brian didn't even remember it.
Right. Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah. Now I just got to find Josh and make sure he thinks we're good.
Yeah. 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 Well, if I ever find the theft, I'm going to be like, you remember when you stole that Jinzo card? Because I do.
Let me see your TI-83. I know.
Pull it out right now. Pull it out right now. I know you're a fraud.
I know you're a fraud. Just kidding, man. Thanks for signing up, allowing me to come in for an appointment.
Go to therapy and be like, I can't let go of this one thing, friend.
Friend. You?
You. It's because of you. Like, it doesn't even affect me. I wasn't even involved in the situation. I just inserted myself.
Right. Yeah. Just a neutral third party.
Third party here.
That's exactly.
Oh, I was a biased third party, I suppose.
You were probably on team B's, if I had to imagine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm on team. I need someone to play against. You
right,
know?
Right. Yes. As long as you have his Jinzo card and I don't have a proper opponent. And there's a tourney this weekend.
We all get worse, you know?
Right. Yes. Yes.
You know, iron sharpens iron. And right now I'm playing with, like, aluminum foil, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so not gonna work, not gonna get sharper. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So. Oh boy, man, what a dense episode we had today.
No doubt.
This is like I was gonna say the fruitcake, but it sounds like I'm saying something wrong. But I watched like Olaf's Christmas Adventure over the weekend.
Yeah,
with Addison.
Sure, and it is the season.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. You know how in July you watch these things. Yeah. And anyway, he's learning the traditions of all the other people in Arendelle, and one of them is to make fruitcake. And he keeps like the fruitcake keeps showing up because it can't be destroyed. And then he eats it, and it comes right out the other end. Yeah. And he's like, wow, that went straight through me. So I'm meaning dense like fruitcake, like, dense, you know, like cake, you know, yeah, like the ones that people make around the holidays that, yeah, you know,
does anyone actually make them?
I have no idea. Like, no, it seems like either. If you go to the grocery store, I can picture like the brightly colored loaves.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if I've ever had one. It's probably like one of those things where it's like, dude, it's actually really good.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, everyone makes fun of fruitcake, but I bet if you ate one, you'd be like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's like the necktie for like a Father's Day gift, but, right, but like, you know, it's probably like one of those things where it's like a lot of fathers for a long time needed neckties.
Yeah.
So it's like, it is a cliche gift, but it's also like one they'll use.
Right.
You know, and like, right, to let the kid go and pick it out probably gives like the parent, like me, if Addison picked out like a necktie for me, and if I ever had a reason to like wear suits, I would be like, I would tell everybody.
I know. Like, I'd be like, my daughter picked this one out for me. It's like, oh, pretty good. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
In the meantime, the limited assortment of neckties that I still own from other times in my life, when I sometimes had to wear ties, my children would just find and run around and play with like their toys. And I've had to like almost hide them in my closet. And last week when I went to go see the Cursed, or 2 weeks ago when I went to go see the Cursed Child, I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll actually wear that Slytherin one I've got. I have almost no use for it ever, but maybe tonight's the night. Tonight. And I went through, and that's the only one I couldn't find. And I was like, children. Children! Like, why is this always the case?
13 years from now, when you guys are like moving to a new house, you're gonna like find it in the back of like Luke's closet, and it's gonna be like, come on, come on!
I mean, that literally also happened. This, so you know, when I buy coffee filters, you buy them in packs of like 300, you know, right, you have to, you have to buy a new pack of coffee filters like once a year.
Right.
And this past week though, was the day when I ran out and I was like, I could tell that it was coming too. And I was like, it doesn't even matter. Cause I've just got, I was like staring at it. I'm like I've got three left, but there's like, I don't worry. Cause you have the refill, the reusable coffee filter.
Sure.
It's like, it's a little bit of a nuisance cause you got to like rinse it out every time. But like, I don't need to fret. I'll still have coffee in the morning.
Absolutely.
I go to make it 3 days later when I run out of coffee filters. Sure enough, it's gone. Where'd it go? I was like, it's gone forever is where it went. Who knows where it went? And sure enough, found it in Luke's closet filled with a bunch of other Nespresso pods.
Nice.
And I was like, ah, yes, of course. Of course.
Naturally where it would be.
Naturally, exactly the moment I went to need it, it had vanished, even though it had been there 3 days ago. And for a year before that.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, over the weekend, I needed to repair my lawnmower and I needed my socket wrench set. And I couldn't find it, although I can't blame it on anybody. I just lost it.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. Oh, this also happened to me when I went to a couple of birthday parties 2 weekends ago.
Okay.
Like we even talked about this. And I was like, yo, you know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be one of those guys. I'm going to bring one of my koozies to this party. So, cause I knew the other people there all went to Tech. And when we went to the Metallica concert, we got fun koozies.
We did. Yeah.
At Lane Stadium. I was like, this would be my koozie. It'd be like a little conversation starter thing.
I went to the Metallica concert.
Yeah. I went to the Metallica concert. Boom. There you go. Cool. Fun. And I bought two koozies there. And when I got home, Luke immediately was like, oh my God, can I have one? And I was like, sure, whatever. Cause he loves koozies
naturally.
Or whatever. And what he then immediately did was write his name on it in marker. Just like, no, don't do that. Cause now whatever. It's fine. Good thing I have another one. So I went to go check where all the koozies are. Cause we have a basket just full of them and they're all in there. Except the other one.
Oh, no.
And I have no idea where the other one is, but the only one I could find is the one Luke wrote his name on. And like, how come every time I come to this shelf, it has been looted from the things I need?
Like whenever like Luke
perfectly needs- grand application for these objects, and I know exactly where they are, and I put them here for that reason. It's okay.
Life finds a way.
Life finds a way.
To take your things.
To take your things right when you need them.
Oh, man. I know. Yeah, that was exactly what happened. I walked in and I was like, Alice, I don't have the socket wrench to fix this thing. And she was like, why does that always happen? And I was like, I don't know.
I have every other tool I've ever bought.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm pretty down on myself about it. But, you know, it's like, you know, we'll figure it out. It'll show up eventually. And then exactly. I'll fix my leaf blower.
Exactly.
Anyway, y'all, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. I'm sure it was a doozy. But hopefully hopefully you got through it with us.
Yeah, hopefully.
You made it this far.
Hopefully next week when we're talking to you, I will be injury-free.
Injury-free,
God willing.
There you go. Knock on woods. As always, if you have any feedback for the show, you can send it over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to sign up to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. It is officially Q3 territory. Woo! For exclusive merch. And for Q3, we are going to be doing a annual calendar for the year of 2026.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have photo shoots for each of the various months and everything. So if you're the kind of person who still goes analog with your old calendar, or if you just want to see some really hilarious photos of Jay and I getting into antics for every single month and specific dates outlined for, you know, members of the team's birthdays and those types of things.
SCB milestones and such.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And such. Yeah. You can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. A link to that and obviously the description and the other obvious places where they would be. Until next time,
pop pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.